You are a stellar student, always receiving A+ grades. You are making a good living of yourself right now. You have given several presentations, you have written several articles, and most of them have been well received. Despite all you have done, you feel you do not deserve any of this. And that it is a matter of chance, external factors, or luck that has got you where you are. Even when someone praises you, it does not make you happy. Rather, it confuses you. You think to yourself, what have I done to deserve this praise? Isn't this what anyone would have done? So why the praise? This is called imposter syndrome. A feeling when you undermine your success and feel that your hard work had nothing to do with the success you have achieved, and you consider yourself a fraud who has reached where she has because of luck or other external factors, such as being at the right time and at the right place. Hello and welcome to another episode of Be Nudged by Maya. I'm your host Ritika, and on today's episode, we will be discussing about imposter syndrome. Now, if you have feelings of being an imposter or feeling like a fraud, understand that you are not alone. In fact, studies show that 7 out of 10 people have experienced feelings of being an imposter. In fact, Maya Angelou, Albert Einstein, the 12-time Grammy Award winner Lady Gaga, former CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, all have experienced the feelings of being an imposter. And the list just continues. Imposter syndrome was defined in 1970s by psychologists Suzanne Imps and Pauline Rose. They initially believed that the phenomenon was exclusive to women. During their research, they found that successful women had a high fear of failure, which is contrary to what you might think. Successful people should be more confident, but here the research showed the opposite. This discrepancy led them to coin the term imposter phenomena, which, quoting from the research paper, was defined as an internal experience of intellectual phoniness that appears to be particularly prevalent and intense among a select example of high-achieving women. Despite outstanding academic and professional accomplishments, women who experience the imposter phenomenon persist in believing that they are really not bright and have fooled anyone who thinks otherwise. If you do a Google search on imposter syndrome, the results will indicate the same, that women experience imposter syndrome. However, it is not true. In fact, in a study conducted on a group of university teachers by Topping and Kimmel in 1985, the study concluded that men exhibited even stronger imposter feelings than women. Therefore, it is not just women, but men and women equally experience imposter syndrome. So then why did the first research suggest that women experience the imposter phenomena? On taking a deeper look at their research, you will see that the research was done exclusively on women. Not just that, the sample constituted of women who were primarily white middle to upper class women between the ages of 20 and 45. Hence, this research is devoid of social and cultural factors and represents an incomplete view because of a non-comprehensive research sample. This, by the way, is called a sampling bias, which leads you to present a sample which is not reflective of the entire population. We'll discuss about it in some other episode. For now, coming back to imposter syndrome. Newer research suggests that imposter syndrome is not dependent on gender and affects men and women equally. However, it is more commonly observed amongst people who are a minority. Now, that minority can be by gender, by race, or by any other factor. The imposter syndrome is not a psychiatric disorder and is not found in American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, DSM-5. Feeling like an imposter can lead to a hefty blow on confidence. It can make you belittle everything that you do and in turn can make you anxious, depressed, and unhappy. Now we initially discussed that imposter syndrome is experienced by 7 out of 10 people. It is in fact experienced by anyone, regardless of their job, their social status, or regardless of their gender. Now, since a lot of people experience it and we know about the negative consequences of it, then how do we prevent it? How do we get ourselves out of feeling like a fraud? To do that, let us try and understand what causes imposter syndrome in a little detail. There are multiple factors that cause us to feel inadequate and incompetent. While some of them pertain to our personality traits, external factors such as the surroundings we grew up in and a culture and the environment we are in also play a crucial role determining how we feel. According to research, people who experience imposter syndrome have characteristics of being a perfectionist and also struggle with self-efficacy and neuroticism. Now, as for external factors, our environment, be it school or work, it signals us to behave a certain way, look a certain kind. And all this puts the people under a lot of pressure to not be themselves, but constantly try to be someone else. Try to be something that satisfies and justifies the norms that have been laid out unconsciously or consciously. If you have been following Binaj, you will know we quite often say that people have biases and humans are not always rational. Some of these biases set the tone of what is appropriate and what is not. They lead to an implicit signaling that someone is not as appropriate or appreciated as others. This happens frequently, consciously or unconsciously. But these continuous signals lead us to doubt ourselves. Perhaps this is the reason that people who are in minorities in any way within the surrounding especially feel self-doubt just because of the position they are in. So does this mean that you just have to live with this feeling of self-doubt? Well, no. While a lot has to be done culturally to change the narratives at workplace and schools and also at home about acceptable behavior, there are a few things that you can do to fight such feelings. One of the first things that you can do is to accept what you are feeling and associate a name for it and not go into a cycle of analyzing and reanalyzing in a cycle of negative talk and doubt. According to Dan Siegel, the psychologist, he refers this practice as name it to tame it. By naming our emotions and understanding what they actually are, it helps us to address the emotions in a much better way and takes away the stress that comes with not knowing what actually the emotion is and allows you to tackle the issue at hand in a better manner. The second is using this feeling into something positive. Just like we did in the previous episode where we tried to understand how we can nurture negative self-talk and regret into something positive. So how do we nurture the feelings of being an imposter into something positive? Well, according to a Forbes article, realizing that when you think that you are an imposter, you're actually wanting to be better. You're challenging yourself to try something new and be good at it. We can certainly agree that being better is something positive. And it really helps us grow. But what is not positive is trying to achieve perfection. When we are chasing perfection, it leads us to fear not giving 100% or not achieving 100% accuracy. And we try and force ourselves to do nothing less than 100%. This can lead to procrastination and poor performance because your attention will always be on completing the task and the next one with utmost perfection. But perfection is not quantifiable. We cannot understand what is perfect and what is not. So, trying to be better is what should be the goal, not trying to be perfect, because you never know what is perfect, but you can surely know what is better. Now, the other thing that you can do is, once you acknowledge this feeling and understand that you're feeling a certain way, reach out to someone and talk about it. This can help you get a newer perspective on why you feel this way and also reduce the mental load that you're carrying. Lastly, remind yourself of your accomplishments. Though this sounds cliche, a lot of people do not do this. You have certainly achieved a lot of milestones in your life, but it is very easy to forget all the hard work and effort and criticize yourself for not putting in the effort. Even though it is not true, you are clearly where you are because of the efforts that you made. Now, the other thing that we usually think of is that accomplishments are taken as badges, trophies, certificates, and awards. But that is not the full picture of it. Accomplishments are feelings and emotions as well. Feeling of being empathetic, feeling happy when you help someone in need, keeping your calm when it was very easy to snap. These are accomplishments too that make you into a better person who is adept in facing situations at hand. So all of these accomplishments are certainly yours, and you yourself allowed yourself to cross all those situations that were presented to you. Now, while these are the things that you can control, there are several other factors as well that you cannot control, but they do play a role in making you feel like an imposter. And while it will take time to rectify, you can begin by changing your mindset, like we discussed in this podcast, a mindset shift from self-criticism and self-doubt to self-appreciation and becoming better, not perfect, but better, can help you from overcoming this feeling of being an imposter and being a fraud all the time. You are not an imposter. You are unique in your own ways. So with that, be courageous, understand your emotions, and nudge yourself to move from a place of self-doubt to a place of understanding and appreciating yourself. With that, we come to the close of this episode of Be Nudged by Maya. Please rate the podcast if you liked it, and please reach out to me on LinkedIn if you have suggestions on how I can make this better or any topics that I should cover. This is your host, Ritika. Until next time, follow your curiosity with courage. Thank you so much for listening.